This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Strong, and let's get right to the consumer news from the past week. Health Minister Mark Holland was warning big tobacco companies to stay away from kids. Holland is accusing Imperial Tobacco of exploiting a loophole in order to get Health Canada approval for its Zonic oral nicotine pouch. Imperial Tobacco is marketing these nicotine pouches as an aid to stop smoking. But critics say it's clearly being marketed to kids to use recreationally. The pouches are sold in colorful packets with splashy flavors like Tropic Breeze, Chill Mint, and Berry Frost. Each pouch contains the same amount of nicotine as 3 to 4 cigarettes. Canada approved the Zonic pouches in July of 2023 as a licensed natural health product. So that means there are no restrictions on who can purchase it, so kids can buy it legally. Holland says he plans to restrict access to the product as well as restrict the flavors and marketing that they will be allowed to use to sell it. Imperial Tobacco says it hasn't exploited any loopholes to get Zonic on the market. Interest rates should be coming down sometime this year, according to the Bank of Canada, but the timing is up in the air. The central bank released a summary this week saying that the governing council members, I picture a lot of old guys sitting smoking cigars in leather wingback chairs, they all agreed that if the economy and inflation evolve in line with their projections, the Bank of Canada will be able to begin cutting interest rates for us before 2024 is over. That said, there was some difference of opinion among the governors about when those cuts would come. The Bank of Canada held the interest rate steady at 5% earlier this month, and at the time brushed off questions on the timing of the rate cuts. Car thefts have been in the news in Canada a lot lately, with the number going through the roof. It's getting so bad that the federal government organized a national summit on the issue in February and announced millions of dollars in funding to prevent cars from getting ripped off. And it's especially bad in the big cities like Vancouver and especially Toronto. And this week, more than a month after that summit, Toronto's police chief shared some data from last year on auto thefts. And Chief Myron Demke says the combined value of all the stolen cars in the city of Toronto hit $790 million. So far this year, there has been 68 carjackings. And that's a scary predicament. That's a 106% increase compared to the same number of carjackings last year. And a good number of these cars that are stolen are then put in containers and sent overseas. And from the illegal trade in automobiles to the illegal trade in baby eels in the Maritimes, it's a big problem. In fact, since March 6th, 26 people have been arrested in southwestern Nova Scotia for illegally fishing baby eels. Canada's fisheries minister calls it an immediate threat. These tiny eels are typically sold live to fish farming operations in China and Japan, where they are grown for food, and they are worth money. In the past few years, prices have reached as high as $5,000 per kilo for these baby eels. Officials say the individuals who are arrested are under investigation, but they didn't say if anyone has been charged yet. A new rest stop is opening in Surrey for commercial long-haul drivers traveling through the Lower Mainland. BC's Transportation Ministry says the site for the North Surrey Truck Parking Facility, which is located on Highway 18, about 600 meters east of the Portman Bridge, was chosen because it's close to a lot of busy truck routes. It says this facility will have parking for 106 commercial trucks and include washrooms with showers and a sani dump for drivers. And it's also secure. There's lots of fencing, cameras, and 24-hour security. The ministry says the stop is scheduled to open for long-haul truckers starting Thursday. Lots of stories recently about trucks smashing into overpasses here in the Lower Mainland. In Vermont, the same thing is happening, except it's a beautiful 140-year-old covered bridge that keeps getting clipped, and they're blaming it on GPS. Truck drivers are being told by their GPS systems to use the Lyndon Miller's Run Bridge. And I guess they're watching the GPS instead of all the signs on the road as you approach it. In fact, there's one sign that has big flashing lights warning them about the height restrictions. Then a lot of truckers hit the structure and they just keep going. But the town's administrators say drivers that do stick around blame GPS, but they say the real problem is a lack of common sense. This is Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong, and when we come back, there's some great stuff going on at the Vancouver General Hospital, a facility that has been serving us here in the Lower Mainland since 1906. And that's next.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. It's Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong. And what can you say about the Vancouver General Hospital? Its doors have been wide open in Fairview Slope since 1906. VGH is now Canada's third largest hospital, if you go by number of beds, and it's growing, changing, and innovating all the time. And a lot of it is thanks to the Vancouver General Hospital Foundation. They are online at vghfoundation.ca. And from the VGH Hospital Foundation is Laura Walsh. Hi, Laura. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks so much, Martin, for having me.
Excellent. So I want to talk about the foundation and some of the new things that are happening and how people can get involved. But I'm going to start with kind of a vague question. Why is VGH so important to the Lower Mainland?
Yeah. So VGH and UBC Hospital Foundation, we are so important. We're the primary philanthropic partner for Vancouver Coastal Health. And we really are just the leading charity investing in healthcare innovation in BC. So our vision and our mission is to inspire donors, transform healthcare, and save lives.
Mm-hmm. And that's a
that's a big.
It's easy, yeah, it's easy to say. It's a short sentence, but it's amazing to think. Because I was just doing a little bit of reading about the hospital, mm-hmm. and it's been something that's been ever present in my life. And it was opened in 1906, so yeah, it's a big part of Vancouver.
It is. It's incredible. In fact, sometimes when I'm meeting with donors and hearing their stories, I've met people who were born in Vancouver General Hospital back in the day. When that was possible here, and just a real important part of history. One thing to note, too, our foundation, in addition to supporting Vancouver General Hospital, our donors also support UBC Hospital, GF Strong Rehab Center, the Vancouver Coastal Health Research Institute, and also community health services throughout sort of Vancouver and the downtown east side and other areas. So it's a big mandate.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned GF Strong, just as a small example of, a satellite facility to this whole thing. And that is an incredible place. I know many years ago, my mother had to spend some time there. And then I remember the Premier Mike Harcourt, when he had that fall on one of the Gulf Islands, and he had a really serious injury. He spent time at GF Strong. And for people who have had to deal with those places, it's really an important thing that they're there. It's a blessing that those places are there.
It really is. It's tremendous rehab work that happens there. Absolutely amazing staff. Yeah, it's a, for me, it's a real privilege to do the work I do, because I see firsthand every day sort of just how important healthcare providers are. And I even have an adult child who's currently in the hospital. So very real way, sometimes it hits home and we realize how blessed we are to have really brilliant minds who are specialists in adult healthcare and really trying to find solutions and improve care and get people home to their families sooner and faster. Because as much as it's wonderful to have the hospital here, we always want to be sure we can help get patients get home.
Yeah. Well, I wish you all the best with that.
Thank you so much.
And we're talking about the kind of care that you get at VGH and other hospitals in the Lower Mainland. It's changing all the time with technology. The care is getting better and better, but the problem is it's really expensive. And I guess that kind of leads into a big question that I have, you know, here in my notes. Mm-hmm. Why support the Vancouver General Hospital Foundation and UBC Hospital?
Yeah, thank you. Indeed, healthcare is getting more complex in some ways. People are living longer, healthier lives, but it's getting more complex, and we rely, technology makes a big difference, and innovation makes a big difference. And where philanthropy and generous donors who support VGH and UBC Hospital Foundation help make a difference is really advancing that innovation. So fueling and funding things beyond the basics that government pays for, helping us leverage government funding, investing in new technologies, research pilots, helping to attract and retain the very best. It really is a combination of, you know, people, technology, equipment. And the reality is we do need our community and philanthropy to help really push those boundaries and get the very best for our patients because, you know, healthcare is a big, big social issue.
Yeah, yeah. And overall, I mean, can you think, I'll put you on the spot, can you think of a specific piece of technology that is making a huge difference that that is also really expensive and needs the support from people?
Sure. Yeah. Well, actually, I'll share one that we thankfully are through a very successful Brain Breakthroughs campaign. One of the pieces of equipment that we raised money for, so thankfully has been funded, although there are always new things we need funding for, was something called a 3T MRI. And I kind of use it as an example because my daughter had to have got to use that piece of equipment. And so it really drove it home for me. So the 3T MRI is sort of state-of-the-art diagnostic imaging, far more powerful than sort of standard MRI machines. And what's been amazing about it is it's not only benefiting one type of patient or one area of healthcare. While it's super important for all neurological things, stroke, epilepsy, it also is beneficial to like multitude of different disciplines within healthcare. It provides better imaging, better diagnosis, and you know, we have some of the physicians who have worked here. I've got a quote here from one of her. She said, "I have been waiting for this 3T MRI for 16 years, my whole career." Donors, yeah, isn't that incredible? Yeah, that's Dr. Rutinsky. So it really, you know, things like that would only have been possible thanks to donors. Otherwise, we would have kind of got the basic, but we were able to get the best, and that'll make a difference.
Yeah, because when you think about it, you think about your home computer or something, and how every few years your home computer starts to feel older, and you need a new computer, and you're constantly upgrading these things. And I imagine with these kind of imaging things like this MRI, and they all are powered by new, more powerful computers, artificial intelligence. I guess the technology must be changing like so rapidly. It must be impossible to keep ahead of.
Well, it's changing rapidly, but thankfully, because VGH really is the center of academic excellence, you know, we see patients from all over the province, but we also attract top talent, and they want to be here because of the culture of sort of innovation and research. If we have the right people, they're also, and the right minds are advancing things. So we have some world leaders here in cardiology, in spinal cord research. You know, someone who I work closely with, Dr. David Wood, who's the head of our division of cardiology, he is really a world leader in, it sounds complicated, and in some ways I'm sure it is, but it's an aortic valve replacement. So a very sophisticated way of having minimally invasive care for cardiac patients. So fundamentally, wanting to have open heart surgery be a thing of the past. So some of these innovations have revolutionized things just in the last few years. Whereas a patient today will be going home on the same day having this procedure compared to maybe 6 years ago, they would have had to spend a few days in hospital.
Incredible. Yeah. We're talking with Laura Walsh from the Vancouver General Hospital Foundation and UBC Hospital Foundation. That's all part of one thing.
Vancouver General Hospital and UBC Hospital, yes. So we have a hospital on UBC campus, which is a teaching hospital, yeah. So we raise money for both of those hospitals, in addition to the many other things I shared, yeah.
Yeah, and people can go to vghfoundation.ca, right? And
correct.
And that's kind of the place to go. And what do you recommend if somebody wants to get involved? They go to vghfoundation.ca.
Yeah, there's many different ways to get involved. Certainly, I think a lot of the time when people think about healthcare in the hospital and if they want to get involved or help, there's different ways. They may have some area of healthcare that's touched their lives, their loved ones, and we certainly have, you know, information about advances and patient stories and inspiring stories on the website. So if someone's interested in surgery or cancer, we also, of course, have events. Sometimes people in the community put on events to benefit us, which is wonderful. We will be having a gala called Vitality Gala in October. So again, on the website, that'll be the place to look for information there. And for sure, we really encourage, we love speaking with people, we love meeting with people, hearing their stories, hearing how they want to get involved. And in recent years, I think particularly during COVID, we had many of our supporters have conversations with us about what we call legacy giving, or simply put, naming charities in one's will and thinking about a future gift. So we certainly have information on the website about that. And that's something that's really important, not only to our healthcare foundation, but to many charities.
Right. And you must deal with a lot of people who have been, you kind of mentioned that, who've been touched by the hospital. Because I know every time I have any sort of interaction, a serious interaction with a healthcare worker, like a doctor who helps with a specific thing, I'm always just so grateful that those people actually went to school to learn this, because they didn't have to, and they did. And I just feel like I feel so grateful. And I guess a lot of people, when they get great care, they feel like they want to give back.
Yes. And, you know, in some ways, I can even, you know, again, sort of from personal experience, there is a sense of, it kind of helps with the healing and with the process too. You know, that giving back and that gratitude, and really it makes a difference to the healthcare providers also, not only because it helps advance, you know, research and the work they're doing, but I think it is important that they hear that those messages of gratitude, you know, from patients and their families, because it's hard work. It is hard work. They are healthcare heroes, whether it's the physicians, the nurses, the clerical staff, the cleaners. It's really an inspiring place to work.
Absolutely. And you can help by going to vghfoundation.ca. And we'll have more with Laura Walsh with the Vancouver General Hospital and UBC Hospital Foundation when Vancouver Consumer continues right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Strong, and on Vancouver Consumer this afternoon, we're talking with Laura Walsh from the Vancouver General Hospital and UBC Hospital Foundation. You can find them online at vghfoundation.ca. And we're finding out about all the great work that they do and the huge advancements in technology that are happening because of people helping out. And that's a question you must get a lot. People saying, well, you know, I pay taxes, and aren't the hospitals supported by, you know, by taxpayer money? Why should people get involved and support VGH?
Yeah. And indeed, it's that ability to really advance and get the best care, the best specialists, sort of accelerated faster here. For sure, our taxes support healthcare, but philanthropy does make a difference. And in the area of research, so many of our medical providers also, of course, conduct research. We have the Vancouver Coastal Health Research Institute. We're making advances. But in order to be successful to apply for research grants, there often does need to be seed funding. And this is a place where philanthropy can really play a role. We actually have a recent, kind of an interesting project that was started through a collaboration with Boehringer Ingelheim. And sort of seed funding for innovative initiatives and grants in the area of planetary health and indigenous health. And you might be thinking, well, what's that about? So one of the first projects that was recently funded was actually a planetary health menu pilot project, where we've got the food services staff at VGH, dietitians, clinicians, all working together with a renowned chef, Ned Bell, and they're providing 20 new menu items to patients with a lot of plant-based and really healthy options, and then surveying patients about it and doing research around that, because, of course, good nutrition is a key to healthcare. So things like that, you can imagine, can only really be, you know, powered by philanthropy.
Yeah, I love that. I love that idea, because hospital food, it generally doesn't get a good rap. You know what I mean?
That is true. And I actually had the opportunity to taste test some of this when the pilot was coming out. And it definitely was different than my perception of what hospital food is. You know, creamy coconut chicken, chickpea curry and things like that. Ooh. So, there are some interesting projects for sure.
Yeah, that's I like that a lot. I think that's pretty cool. We're talking to Laura Walsh with the Vancouver General Hospital and UBC Hospital Foundation. VGHfoundation.ca is the place to go. And you had mentioned earlier about the Vitality Gala that's coming up in October. Talk a little bit about that and how, you know, people could get involved that way.
Yeah, and so for sure, keep checking the website out for when more details about that come out. But that's a wonderful way for people to get involved, either by purchasing tickets or sponsors or even volunteering. And is really, both a celebration of our sort of healthcare champions, but also an opportunity to get to know our foundation better. There's an amazing team here at the foundation that work on it, and it's very sort of immersive and lots of cool technology and a fun way to get to see how healthcare providers really make a difference and to interact with them. So we'll have physicians and others who provide healthcare are also at the gala. So it's a neat chance to interact and, of course, raise some really important funds and expand our family of donors, because the reality is, as healthcare needs grow, you know, so does our foundation need to grow our family of donors and supporters.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of people listening, there might be some people, maybe they're getting a little older, they're getting close to retirement, their kids have moved out, and they want to get involved in the community. They want to find things to do. And I think getting involved in the Vancouver General Hospital Foundation and the UBC Hospital Foundation and supporting this would be so gratifying, and it would give so much to that person. And so what do you say to those people? What are some of the things you mentioned? Volunteer work,
and certainly, yeah, you know, for donors who support us, and if they have a particular area of interest, we really do try to, you know, get to know our donors and work with them individually and offer also sort of, you know, opportunities for education. So very often throughout the year, for our supporters, we'll offer opportunities to come to a panel or to hear about different innovations in healthcare. You know, we'll have, and there's just so many things. We have our eye care center. You know, we have amazing cancer care providers here. Surgeons. So we do provide opportunities for our donors to learn and to come and interact. You know, so mm-hmm. Yeah, not only volunteering and coming to events, but also just to get engaged with us and learn that way.
Yeah. Interesting. You mentioned eye care, and I guess eye care, and as people, you know, the older people, the population of older people increases, but also people are living longer. And I guess that's kind of revolutionizing what we need from healthcare and things like eye care and those kind of things. So what are some areas that you are excited about in sort of that vein?
Yeah, for sure. The whole area, yeah, you're right. In terms of aging and living longer and healthier also means there's a bigger interest both within healthcare and I think from our donors in prevention. So funding pilots and different projects that look at prevention or exercise, certainly within Parkinson's research, which is an area that we support, there is a significant amount of research that looks at the benefits of exercise for people who already have Parkinson's in terms of helping with symptoms. So in almost, you know, you could almost take any area of healthcare, and there really is an interest in what can we do to sort of live better, healthier, longer. We're actually also home to one of Canada's only sports cardiology clinics out at UBC Hospital, which helps people who are active and maybe have had a heart attack or a cardiac issue, work with them to continue to stay active after their treatment. And that's not just for young people, that's for people of all ages.
Right. That's interesting. And you mentioned Parkinson's. A few weeks ago, I talked to Larry Gifford, who is someone who has Parkinson's and is an outspoken advocate for it. And he was saying that there's basically no treatment for it other than just to, well, there is treatment, obviously, but they basically are just helping with symptoms. So there's so far to go in terms of research. And I guess it's exciting that you can be part of that.
Yeah, there certainly are some areas and some diseases where progress has been slower, and therefore funding research is so important, Parkinson's being one. I've lost a parent to ALS. That is another disease area that really requires support, and we do support. So there certainly are ways that people can get involved with if they really something's touched their lives or their loved ones and they really want to make a difference, we can help sort of provide information and provide ways to get involved and learn more. It's a meaningful thing to do, I think, particularly when you've got a loved one who's going through something and you want to help. We welcome that.
Yeah, this Laura Walsh is our guest with the Vancouver General Hospital Foundation, the UBC Hospital Foundation. You can find them online, vghfoundation.ca. And it's really great because there's so many different areas that you're involved with and getting people to help with the funding of that. Is there one particular area that's sort of like your pet project that you are very excited about?
Oh, you can't. Well, you probably can't do that to me. That's not fair. Do you know what? I mean, I will say I do work very closely with cardiology, and so I'm quite passionate about that because we're a center of excellence here. There's so many innovations, and there's some unique areas, women's cardiac health. We actually have the Leslie Diamond Women's Heart Health Clinic here. And I would also say the whole area of cancer. So if we're, thinking about things that affect a huge number of people and where help is needed and there's lots of exciting things happening, particularly on the horizon, I would say those two broad areas.
Yeah. No, I don't want to pin you down and make it because you probably deal with all sorts of people. They would be insulted. It's like saying, who's your favorite child?
Exactly.
But I mean, you need to talk about women's health and things like women's cardiac issues. I guess those are exciting areas because cardiac issues and women it might be something that's often overlooked because people have this tendency to believe that heart attacks happen mainly to men, but it's not true.
It is not true. That's correct. And moreover, how women present is often quite different. So there's a huge amount of education to be done in the area of women's heart health. So women might not typically have the same kind of clutching your heart, piercing pain when there's a heart attack. And therefore, very often women themselves kind of downplay it and maybe don't go to the hospital as soon as they could, or you know, really sometimes need to advocate for themselves better and stronger, because women's cardiac issues are often sort of misdiagnosed or missed.
Right. So in the last minute or so that we have, what do you say to people listening who want to get involved? If they go to vghfoundation.ca, what do you recommend they do?
Yeah, thank you, Martin. Well, first, what I'd love to say is a thank you to our many, many supporters. All the donations we receive, small, large, whatever people can and do give, we deeply appreciate. So that's my primary message, is one of gratitude. And yes, we invite people to come to our website, vghfoundation.ca. And for those who prefer and want to just speak with someone, or maybe don't use a computer, just give us a call. So our general line is 604-875-4676. And we're always happy to have a conversation and really work with people and find out how they might want to get involved.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way to become part of the community and to really work on a good cause, because it really is helping people. It's slam dunk, really. And Laura Walsh, with the Vancouver General Hospital Foundation and the UBC Hospital Foundation, vghfoundation.ca. Thanks for talking to us, Laura.
Thanks so much, and wishing you and all your listeners good health.
Right on. Same to you. Okay. And good luck. When we come back, we're probably noticing the dreaded number 2 flashing on gas station signs after the price of a liter in the Lower Mainland once again cracked the $2 mark. It's kind of going up and down. I've got that story on where gas prices are now and where they may be headed. That's when Vancouver Consumer continues, right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Strong, and we started this week with gas prices around the Lower Mainland once again cracking the $2 a liter level. As soon as Sunday evening turned to Monday morning, right around midnight, a bunch of stations started broadcasting that dreaded 2 on their signs. Now it's kind of sort of sitting sometimes below, sometimes above. It's not a record high, but that fact that it's still only March does not bode well, because historically prices peak in late April or the May long weekend. So it's a bit early. According to GasBuddy.com, you can blame much of the recent hike on the switch from winter to summer gasoline. Did not know this, but to help cars start in cold weather, winter fuel contains butane, which is relatively cheap, but it's not recommended for summer driving. When the butane is burned in warmer temperatures, it contributes to low-level ozone, and that can be really bad in cities where there's lots of cars. It's also the time of year when refineries are doing maintenance. That means they aren't producing as much fuel, and of course, when supply is low, prices go up. So how high could prices go this spring for gas? Patrick DeHaan from GasBuddy.com says if there are any issues at any of the refineries, we could see the price of gas climb from around $2 to $2.20 or even $2.30. So at those prices, the idea of an electric vehicle really starts to make sense. But it does beg the question, will all those new EVs break the grid? Do we have enough electricity to go around? Well, many experts say we can deal with it and create this infrastructure that we need, but it won't be easy. Francis Bradley is the president and CEO of Electricity Canada. They represent electrical utilities across Canada. And he says the thing we have going for us is that the electrification of our cars is going to be a gradual process. And that makes the demand more predictable. After all, we aren't going from electric vehicles to only from gas vehicles, rather, to only electric vehicles overnight. So for the next few decades, there will still be plenty of old-fashioned gas guzzlers on the road. And one of the things that EVs have going for them is that they can store large amounts of electricity and tend to be flexible about when they charge, because they're parked most of the time. So people could be encouraged to charge their cars at a time when it's not a peak hour for electricity. Bradley also says that in the future, electricity users won't be just consumers, they'll also be prosumers. And what that means is we'll be both taking electricity from the grid, but also feeding into it with the power that we're creating from things like our own rooftop solar panels. And the pricing of electricity in the future, unfortunately, will probably be more, or this is a good thing, actually, it'll be more dynamic, changing with supply and demand in order to manage peaks. Though experts do say in the short term, the increased demand for electricity is probably going to put some serious upward pressure on the price. And that's the bad news. But when you think about the fact that we're seeing, you know, a two leading off the price of a liter of gasoline in some areas, it's probably going to be a much better deal for us consumers. And that's what this is all about. This is Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong. We are here every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4. Thanks in a large part to our producer, Jonathan Chung. Thank you, Jono. We'll see you next week.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.